Good evening, my beautiful friends. You know, this is one of my favorite times of the week, especially when I've got one of my favorite people with me.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Good evening, Richard. And for those of you who get our email, you know that our guest tonight is Max. And I have to tell you, I really have come to love Max. Max is such a beautiful consciousness, and he has agreed to be here with us tonight. And I will tell you, the answers that he brings forth are so intriguing, aren't they, Richard?
They truly are. The man is so man, well, whatever he is. He's so thorough.
Yes.
He's got a man's name, I guess, so.
Yes, his consciousness carved into the shape of a crystal skull. Sometimes he's so personable, it's hard to understand just what his consciousness is, isn't it?
Truly, the depth of answers that he brings forth truly are amazing. And what our listeners won't know is that Max often works with us as we solve the problems that face us on a daily basis. He very often puts his hand up, you might say, to assist, and very helpfully, I might say.
Indeed he does. And so, Richard, give, as you connect with Max, would you be kind enough to again, I know you've done this before, but we might have new listeners, give our listeners the concept of what Max, the sense of him in your emotional field.
Yes, I feel, I experience Max as quite a strong energy, quite central in my, I guess, energetic spectrum, close to the center of my chest, just a little bit to the left of center. And the energies that I would associate with that experience are primarily love, but also wisdom are the two elements that are expressed there. Probably a bit more of a singularity in energetic experience than connecting with someone who, or a consciousness that in fact is a soul. It's a bit more singular perhaps than most of the souls that I connect with in this kind of work.
Richard, would you tell people what you mean by singularity?
I'd be willing to do that. The energy as I experience Max is kind of like at a particular point or a particular line might be the best way to express it. There is a vertical aspect to it. It's not just a point, but it's not spread in the horizontal direction. It's very narrow in width. So that's what I mean by describing it as something of a singularity.
Thank you. Does Max have a message for us, or does he want us to get right into questioning?
I have no idea. Let me just check. Right. He says, I, of course, have a message for you. It is my honor to be here and to again answer the questions that your listeners have and, of course, the questions that you might have. However, I do want to take a moment, since it is a few weeks since I was last here, to say that I am very encouraged by the unfolding of events that I witness upon a planet. As you know, I have a very strong interest in seeing this shift in consciousness that has been planned for the planet and for humanity to come forth. It is a subject of great interest and great focus of mine. And so, as you will appreciate, I have something of a different perspective than most of you, given where I view things from. And so as a result of this, I can witness things that perhaps you cannot. And so I am aware, for example, that there have been important energies that have come to the planet that have closed more doors, more options, you might say, for those of the dark that wish to sustain their existence, sustain their presence anywhere in creation. And I don't mean just this cosmos, I mean in every expression of creation, which includes many aspects way beyond this cosmos. And I will also say that I see events moving forward upon the planet that are consistent with this shift. I see evidence of humanity in many ways acting to throw off the yoke of oppression. You no doubt have seen in the press the array of protests in so many countries about so many issues. There is a growing resistance to the subtle but forceful hand of government as governments seek to progress the agenda of those who run the game behind the game, you might say. And that resistance is growing, and the awareness of so many threads that are not acceptable to humanity, including the interference with the food supply, for example, the enslavement of humanity through the financial system is another example. And all of these things are progressing. There are changes emerging, some of which you can witness through the internet, others which are not so obvious to you. And these are all steps in this change that needs to unfold for humanity to be freed from this very difficult time that has been present upon the planet. And so I watch these things with great joy and optimism as they begin to emerge. And so I wanted to take a moment to give you this update, because it is top of mind for many of the listeners to this radio show, and also, of course, to these two hosts. So I am also updating them in this manner with this message.
Thank you so much, Max. Really appreciate it. We're going to go to our callers first. And Anne from California is on line one. Welcome, Anne. Anne? Did Anne drop off the line? Well?
Carolyn?
Yes. Is this Carolyn? Anne? Yes. Your question for Max,
Carolyn.
Anne. Anne, I hear you. Would you give your question for Max, please?
Hi, how are you?
We're fine, Anne. Your question
yes.
for Max?
Hello?
Anne, we hear you. Please give your question
Hello?
For Max.
Hello, Carolyn?
Hello? We're having some problem communicating.
Hi, Carolyn?
Yes, Anne.
Hi, this is Anne Randall.
Yes.
And my question is to Max. I'm working with finding out who I am and what is my mission.
Okay. Let's see what Max says. Max, who
okay.
is Anne and what is her mission, please, if you can help her?
You are one that has come forth to assist with the changes, but your role is not what I would call a central role, in that you are not one of the cherubim, but you are one that has taken a strong interest in seeing these changes come forth. And you, as events unfold, will step forth to assist in teaching humanity about the skills and abilities that they have as they reclaim those skills and abilities with this transition. It is important work, and there are so many that will be required for this work. Indeed, thousands of people will step forth to undertake this, and they will need a level of training to begin this process. And so you will be amongst those, if you choose, to be trained to undertake this teaching work.
Well, thank you, Max. Well, Anne, that's exciting. Did you hear that? Well, we seem to be having trouble communicating with Anne, so we will move on. Max, it's been so wonderful hearing about these eminent changes. I'm going to ask a question that's not so much having to do with the changes, but it seems to be there in the midst of changes in Earth. Can you give us some sort of concept as to why the ice ages occurred? What was behind this? Can you help me out with that?
There are many cycles that unfold in the experience of the planet and all upon it. Some of those cycles are driven by, for example, shifts in consciousness, as you understand, with the fall in Atlantis and so on. Other cycles are driven, as you understand it, by the process of the precession of the equinoxes. And you might say the fall in Atlantis was connected in with this. However, it was not primarily driven by that cycle, but rather utilized that cycle. And there are cycles, for example, that the sun goes through on its own journey. And the ice ages are primarily driven by cycles and patterns within the sun's journey, and the levels of sunspot activity, for example, play an important role in this, but also the nature of the energy output from the sun has a significant impact on the emergence and disappearance of these ice ages. And so primarily the driver in the ice ages is really cycles in the sun's output, major long cycles of shift in that regard. And so in a sense, even though they are major cycles within the experience of the planet and those upon it, indeed, it is a responsive cycle driven by the changes within the sun and its journey.
Thank you, Max. I would like to mention that we have some available slots for listeners to call in with their questions. And this time goes by so fast. If you have a question, call in now, because we have an opening for you. So thank you so much. This might seem like an unusual question that I have for you, Max. Scientists tell us that it seems like everything is based upon evolution, that There are no creative beings behind changes, but rather simply how things evolve. And of course, as you know, we have a different concept about this. Can you give us some sense of creative beings that created this planet that we live upon? Is that something that you can help us with?
I am able to contribute because even though my existence does not extend that far back, I do have access to the records which share this information. There are those who work closely with me that are able to access these records, and so it is something which is of quite a deal of interest to me. And indeed, it is so that many beings were involved with the creation of this planet. In many ways, as you understand it, this galaxy is a young galaxy in the scheme of the development of this cosmos. And indeed, the creation of planet Earth was a key objective in the planning of the creation of this galaxy. And so its positioning and its timing and all of the structuring of the star systems, whilst the focus on planet Earth was not by any means the only issue, in many ways, planet Earth is like the jewel in the crown, you might say. It was a primary focus in so much of what was created because it was understood that within this cycle of Brahma, the work that would be done upon planet Earth to end the cycle of the dark was well understood. Indeed, although many view the fall in Atlantis as something that it would be good had not happened, if it had not happened, in truth, it was always planned because this deep level of density, you might say, of existence was an important aspect of being able to have what unfolded on this planet be the driver for the changes. And so as this was planned, so too a great deal of focus was put upon creating this planet and all upon it as like, as I said, a jewel in the crown. And so many beings on so many levels came forth to be participants, to be contributors to this extraordinary unfolding. And so perhaps you might say many beings came from many areas of the cosmos to bring the best that they had available, the best versions of plants, the best versions of animals, of insects, and so on, to have these interplay and interweave such that there was this extraordinary balance and this extraordinary array of experience of these things upon this jewel of a planet. So many beings saw the creation of this planet as like being the pinnacle of the work that they were able to produce at that point in time. Now, I will say that there have been plants and animals that have also been introduced by the dark. And you might consider the dinosaur was an example of this because it reflected such an imbalance. And also some of the stinging plants and insects were not planned to be part of this experience. Some of them were, but some of the more difficult and unpleasant ones were certainly not part of the plan of those who you might say, set out the design for this beautiful planet. And so there have been many that have had an involvement in what has unfolded here. And this is not to deny the role of evolution, because it is clearly a factor, it is clearly a natural process that sees plants and animals and insects evolve over time. But the notion that all of this in its complexity and its interaction could have somehow evolved from the very basic expressions of life is simply not realistic. And those who have truly studied this do recognize this to be so.
Thank you so much, Max. I was going to ask about the dinosaurs, and you beat me to it. Thank you. We have some callers now, and Susie on line one. Susie from California, welcome.
Thank you. I would like to extend my profound love and gratitude and respect to all of you, Richard, Carolyn, and Max. Max, I understand that you'll be visiting in physical form San Diego, California, in a few weeks. The organizers of this visit have given some brief information about just being in your presence would be able to activate fully and completely the DNA, RNA of the person standing there, and that then there's a different fee for asking a question. I would like to understand what is available by just coming and standing there within your physical presence, if you would be so kind. Thank you.
I think you must have us confused with someone else, dear.
No, she's not talking about us, Carolyn. She's talking about the people that own that move.
Oh, okay.
Frank Max around, but have Max
okay.
in their presence.
Right. That's correct.
I understand. There are many claims made for the impact of people being in my presence, and I have to say some of these are a little beyond the reality of what occurs in my presence. It is certainly true that any of you can connect with my consciousness in the way that Richard is doing here. That is open to everyone. And I will say that the process of bringing forth information and messages from any expression of consciousness or any soul or any plant or animal, any form of consciousness, requires a great deal of discipline and understanding of the processes. And to do it accurately requires a level of development and healing, you might say, because it is so easy for what you call ego to insert itself into the process. I say these words because it is important to understand that some of the claims that are made for people's interaction with me are not exactly accurate. Someone being in my presence will not have their DNA activated. Indeed, there are many misunderstandings about the process of DNA activation and what will unfold. I will say that there will be a moment upon the planet when the DNA of all of those who will participate in the ascension process will be fully reactivated. And that, Susie, is not connected to my presence at all. It has nothing to do really with me. It is a process that will be, in a sense, triggered and driven by others. So this is an example where what is possible in interacting with me is not strictly accurate. So by all means, the experience that people have in my presence is often very confirming for them and very, you might say, heartwarming, because they do feel the energies of the consciousness that I carry. But also because of the environment that is set up, it is a very conducive and supportive environment that those that I work with establish. So it is an experience that most enjoy, but there have been claims made for it that are not consistent with what will unfold.
Thank you, Max. And thank you for asking the question, Susie.
Thank you. You're
welcome. I would just like to mention that Richard is a wonderful teacher for working with consciousness, and you can have sessions with him, but can teach you to work with consciousness like Max and any consciousness, your physical body, and he really is a master at this.
I do recommend that.
Yes, dear, I do recommend that to anyone who is interested in doing this kind of work, because you are an excellent teacher of it. Yvonne from Connecticut is online too. Welcome, Yvonne. Hello. What's your question for Max, Yvonne?
Okay, my question is of sort of parental advice.
Okay.
I have three children, and they're all, you know, very energetically sensitive. They're teenagers, but my daughter is the oldest, and the deeper I go on into, like, the spiritual path, it seems like the angrier she gets with me. Is there anything I need to be aware of with my daughter?
Let's see what Max has to say, Yvonne. Max?
Your daughter is of an age where she is seeking to claim her own path in life, her own independence. And in a sense, you walking down a spiritual path is in a way disturbing the foundations that she is seeking to launch herself from. It is important that you, for her experience, stand as a solid rock as her mother. That is not to say you should deny your own spiritual journey, but you should not try and persuade her of the truth of what you are coming to understand. Rather, be there in support of her and her journey. Be a sounding board for her as she seeks to find her own way. Let her, in a way, lean upon what she knows to be solid and true about you, and you will find that this will settle down. Do not in any way open this up to her unless she asks about it. It is very easy for those who walk a spiritual path to want to persuade those in their lives that this is something they need to understand also, and it is not something that I would encourage you to do, but rather be, in a way, a reference point for her, a sounding board. Be more focused on what she is looking to do and understand. Be supportive and questioning of her. This would be my advice to you.
Thank you, Max. Yvonne, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And we also offer individual sessions with Max if you have further questions and want some help with particular examples, that is available. John from San Diego, California is on line 4. Welcome, John.
Thank you, and bless you, Richard, Carolyn, and Max as well. My question has to do with the planet Nibiru, and there's been a lot of talk about it coming into our solar system again. And from what I understand, every 3,600 years or so, it makes the journey here. And I was wondering what effect, if any, it will have on the ascension process, and when will its closest, what time, roughly, will its closest approach to our sun be? Thank
Good
you.
Question, John. Max?
There are many stories told of Nibiru and its close passage to the solar system. And what is true is that there are beings that have come from Nibiru and have had a role in the, you might loosely term it, evolution of humanity, not necessarily always in a positive manner. And so there is some fear associated with this. I would say to you that the involvement of Nibiru in the human journey really relates to the influence of those beings upon the human evolution. And it is not related really to its proximity to Earth, but rather those beings came forth to undertake particular work and they traveled here. And in a sense, that activity is complete. They do not have, nor does the planet Nibiru, have a role in the unfolding of the ascension process as it exists. Yes, there was some repair work that needed to be undertaken as a result of what those beings did, but that has been completed. And so events will unfold as planned and without any role of Nibiru or its inhabitants on the process as it proceeds from here. There are many that have claimed that this would be otherwise, but as you would appreciate, the internet in particular is full of many stories about many things, and I encourage you to search out those things which resonate truth to you and carry no sense of fear and foreboding. Anything which carries fear, I suggest to you, you avoid it. And I make this suggestion to all of you as you walk your paths, because if it carries fear, there is a good chance that it is being driven by those who wish to keep you enslaved in some manner.
Thank you, Max. So, John, does that help?
Yes, very much. I really appreciate your helping us here in our earthly struggles. And
Something about this that Max is bringing forth is discernment. And Richard and I talk a lot about discernment on our conference calls and to people who work with us. It's exceptionally important because, as Max said, there's so many stories on the internet and it pulls people in so many directions. I like what he said about fear. If it's something that's fear-based, stay away from it. And this idea of discernment that I'm talking about is related to that. So thank you for your question, John. It was a good call.
And I thank you.
I can't hear you, Carolyn. I don't know why not.
Well, we cut off. What is what happened?
Okay, yep. Gonna call you back.
Maybe you should just let them go.
John? I can hear you, but Carolyn's disconnected. Yeah.
Okay, I'm...
She's back.
Cool. Okay, I don't know what happened. Good.
Thank you.
We're sorry for that disconnect. What we were talking to at the moment was Darren from Texas on line 5. Darren, do you hear us?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. We had a little glitch
yes.
there, but we're back. And do you have a question for Max?
Yes, sure I do. Hi, Max. It's an honor to talk with you. And I'm looking for answers in regards to dancing. I'm a dancer and a dance choreographer, and I've spent most of my time focusing on dance and training in it. And I'm looking at doing it professionally and creating pieces in a creative way that has a strong impact on people individually and society. And I'm looking to find more strength in order to do it in an effective way. One of the struggles I have is with the feeling of emptiness inside, as well as also the need to self-express. I'm curious,
Darren,
how to find a balance with that as well.
I'm interrupting you, Darren, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I would like to have a more clear question for Max. Now, when you
sure.
say strength, are you talking about physical strength?
No, I think more so along the lines of, like, understanding, you know, self, like, where is self, you know, and who I am.
And this has to do with the dance?
Yes.
I'm trying
yes.
to get a question.
You know.
Okay, so you're trying to find yourself with regards
mm-hmm.
to dancing. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's it. I've been strongly influenced by many dance masters and also spiritual masters here, you know, in this planet and in this lifetime. So I've studied with them for a long period of time, and now that I'm coming into my own, I feel like a kind of a vast sense of, you know, responsibility and overwhelmingness, and at the same time, I've done so much work that I also feel a blankness. So I'm needing to find some kind of balance as I, you know, step out into this new section of my life.
It sounds to me like your personal journey, you wish to put your own personality on your dancing. Is that where we're going with this?
Yes. And yes, and it's kind of like, and what is that exactly? And I think it sounds like Max has a very strong sense of his own. So I guess, you know, perhaps a good question would be, you know, what kind of process or guidelines should I provide for myself to go about a similar journey?
Darren, it sounds to me like you've looked in many places. You've studied a lot of things, both spiritually and in your dance. But my sense is the spiritual work that you have done has not really given you a sense of yourself. Would that be so?
Yes, very true. Yeah, it's a good point. Because it's been very intellectual and conceptual and thought-based,
yes.
feeling-based, but...
Do you meditate, Darren?
I do. I used to meditate regularly, but now I don't meditate every day.
Hmm. And tell me how you meditate.
I started with Zen Buddhist meditation, and then I went into mantra meditation, and then I learned Tonglen meditation. And now I just, you know, sit in silence and, you know, feel the emptiness and, you know, breathing stuff, you know, just basically simple, you know, sitting there with nothing going on. And also just like focusing on the outside, not being, you know, the predominant focus, but bringing my attention more inwards.
Yes. I feel the hole that's still is within you, Darren, because you haven't really, and this is Richard speaking, I just feel that as I speak to you, and I, you may not be aware, I do a lot of healing work with people through the soul healing session work that I do, and part of that work is really related to triggering the healing processes, not only from past lives, but indeed within this life, to give you a foundation within yourself. You do remind me of so much of when I started my journey. You know, I'd created in many ways all the outward trappings of success, and then one day I suddenly realized that I'd been creating all of this to try and fill this hole I felt inside of me. All of this had not actually been successful in filling that hole. So it's how I feel in terms of where you are. You've kind of been searching, but this final link hasn't been put in place. And there is a link in any of our emails if you're open to it. I mean, this is Richard speaking, but I do feel that one of those sessions would be of tremendous value to you.
Sure.
That's my gut feel, because it would help you to heal this thing that you have, this sense of emptiness, of doubt of yourself, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, that's Richard. Let me see what
I definitely would be open to it, yeah. I've definitely, done different, therapeutic modalities, I guess, throughout the period of time, and I'm very interested in healing work,
yes,
which is why, I really see the end product, being, works of art with dance and performance, relating to healing. So,
So
for me, as much work that I can do on myself, it's like that's what
this
I see.
This is Carolyn. Before we get to Max, if I might just add, I feel this great sensitivity that you have, Darren. And when a person is as sensitive as you are, we're all sensitive to a certain point, but you have this great sensitivity that can at times add difficulty to what you're doing, because sometimes it's hard finding a path through that. Would you agree with that, Richard?
I would. I feel the pain that he carries.
Yes.
It's intense.
Yes, that's true.
And again, it's one of the things that I work on in those calls. I find myself clearing it on this call. It's painful for me.
Let's see what Max has to say.
Okay.
He says, I would agree with all that has been said to you. You are one that has been searching almost endlessly in your life, trying to fit the pieces together. And I will say to you that your sensitivity tells you, and indeed these two and me, a lot about who and what you are. You have a very close connection with the work that these two do. It is no surprise that you have found your way to connect with them, because you are one of those that is an incarnated cherubim, and I do encourage you to participate in such a healing session as Richard is suggesting. This would help you greatly in healing yourself and setting yourself free, because part of the drive within you was actually to connect with the work that these two undertake, not just on these radio shows, but on a broader basis. So I endorse what has been already said to you.
Thank you, Max. Thank you, Darren. We would love to work with you.
Yeah.
Our next caller, Dee from Florida, is online too. Welcome, Dee.
I think she might not be. I think you need to move down the list a little further, Carolyn.
Okay, we'll do that.
And from California up in the mix, is it?
Yeah, she's after
yes.
G. And is this Ann from California?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Welcome, Ann.
I've been having problems getting on.
Well, you're
I've
here, and
problems.
What's your question for Max?
Yes. Carolyn, I want to know what my prior life was before this one.
Okay, we'll see what Max can help you with. Max?
Okay, thank you.
You are one, as indeed is almost all of humanity, one who has come forth many times upon the planet. And it is, in a sense, easy to become fixated upon a particular lifetime when indeed it is the totality of the journey that you have in the human experience that is more important, because it builds patterns, it builds strengths, and it builds issues that need to be healed. I am not trying to avoid your question, but rather provide some context for the answer, because
yes.
I sense there is within you a fixation upon this past, most recent life, because you feel there are things about it that are impinging upon your current life. And indeed, it is your total journey which impinges upon this current life, because this life in particular is the one where you need in some manner at some point to clear all of the negative energies from all of those lifetimes. And the mechanisms will emerge for this for people in general, but it is this driving force that is in, on some level, the life of everyone upon the planet in this time. And So to get to the specifics of your question, because it is deserving of an answer. It was a life in England. It was many hundreds of years ago. You were a peasant, you might say, living a challenging but in its own way satisfying life. You worked hard and diligently. You were in a strong family relationship, though you had little by way of money, though enough to live. And you raised three children successfully. You were a woman in that lifetime. And it was a life of satisfaction and joy and love, though a life of great challenge also because of the circumstances in which you lived.
Thank you, Max. Does that help, Ian?
It helps a great deal, Carolyn. Thank you so much, and thank you, Max.
You're welcome. Yvonne from Ontario, Canada is on line one. Welcome, Yvonne.
Hello, Carolyn and Richard. It is actually Ivan.
Oh, Ivan! Okay,
yes.
Hi, Ivan!
Hi, and blessings to you and Richard, and special thanks to Max.
Yes.
For returning once again.
Indeed, isn't he wonderful?
Indeed it is so. I wanted to ask Max if he can share with us some understanding about this intermingling with the light and the dark by us as humanity, through our experiences in life, how that has really complicated our life, and how we could unwind some of that complication from our lives and this intermingling, and probably in specific terms with the dark.
Now, are you talking about yourself or generally?
In general.
Okay, so this intermingling of the dark and the light, are you really asking how we heal this?
Well, in a way, yes. That could be a way of expressing it.
Okay, let's see what Max has to say.
It is important to understand that the intermingling of the light and the dark upon the planet is in a way a reflection of the intermingling of the light and the dark throughout this entire cosmos. The intermingling in this cycle of Brahma has been way more extensive than has been the case in any other cycle of Brahma. And part of the reason for this has been to be able to engineer, you might say, the ending of the cycle of the dark throughout all expressions of creation. And so the intermingling you see on planet Earth really is a reflection of this complex intermingling on so many levels as has been evidenced in the work that these two have been doing. And the experience for humanity has been perhaps more challenging than most, because humanity, when they incarnate, leave most of their skills and abilities behind. And this applies also to those who represent the dark that have incarnated, but there are many beings who interfere from beyond this consciousness, who, you might say, motivate those who represent their interests upon the planet, but also in many cases interfere directly with humanity. And this has made it more challenging in this consciousness for those of the light seeking to walk the paths that they have chosen. So it is, you might say, a more extreme experience for humanity. And in many ways, this unwinding has begun. And Ivan, I believe you are aware of some of these steps. Of course, the work that you are directly involved in with these two is an example of this, but also there are steps being made elsewhere, which I spoke of at the beginning of this call in my message. There is evidence of humanity beginning to take steps to say enough is enough. We wish to be set free of those who wish to impose their controls and will upon us. And so, in a way, part of this shift, part of humanity freeing themselves from these controls, is to simply say no, to simply claim back their power. But in addition, as you also understand, this fundamental tradition, transition in consciousness that is unfolding in your experience and the experience of all upon the planet, this truly is the key to this change. It needed to begin to come forth in the experience of humanity as it is doing, as I have described. But ultimately, the drive for this separation is a result of the energies that are being sent forth to the planet in many ways from many sources. This gradual energetic shift, which in its own way has also been the trigger for the awakening that I referred to earlier. So ultimately, the separation of the light and the dark upon the planet is being driven by the planned energetic shifts of which you, dear one, are part.
Thank you,
Max.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Wonderful explanation.
And I hate to say we're at the end of the hour. Max, I want to thank you so much for being you always are, sharing everything with us. Richard, bless you for being the individual who brings Max forth to our audience. Thank you all. Good night for now.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Carol.
Good night, Max. Good night, Joe. Yes. Look into your own private session with Max. We welcome that, too. Good night for now.